The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Now, God says to his watchman, when you see all this happening, when you see the sword, you lift up your voice and you tell the world. You tell them. Now, let's read Ezekiel 33 and verse 6. But if the watchman see the sword come, and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come, and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. God's people, God's very elect, if they don't warn, he says, their blood, the world's blood, is going to be on your head. But when you see the sword, you better warn. And I tell you, I see the sword. And I think other people do that don't admit it.
Well, as talks between Iran and Washington on Tehran's nuclear program have come to a complete standstill in the wake of those Israeli attacks, European nations are hoping to fill the diplomatic void. Now, foreign ministers from Britain, France, and Germany, alongside the EU's foreign policy chief, are meeting with their Iranian counterpart in Geneva today. Abbas Araghchi said that Iran has nothing to discuss, rather, with Washington as long as Israel strikes continue, though he did say that Tehran is open to dialogue rather than negotiations, so to speak, with other parties.
One thing to remember is that deadlines in Donald Trump's world are something that is a very loose concept. And it's not me saying that. It's Steve Bannon who talked about and gave examples of, for example, the Russia-Ukraine war, the trade war, China, all of these things where there have been deadlines that have not been met. So the 2 weeks is something that Donald Trump says, but maybe that's not really a sort of timeline.
President Trump will do what's best for America. I trust his judgment. He gave them the chance to do it through negotiations. They strung him along. You don't string along Donald Trump. He knows the game.
And most importantly, let's honor our dead by saying this time we're actually going to think it through. And that's what President Trump's doing. When he comes to the decision, and particularly he's given him another chance. But now the other chance is kind of mangled because the Israelis and Bibi move this to what they moved it to, and let's have an adult conversation, to regime change or regime destruction. That's what he's pitching the other night. Pitching the other night when he said, this is not America first, America dead. Who in the hell are you to lecture the American people? Who are you to lecture the American people? American people are not going to tolerate it. Not going to put up with it. Who are you to jam us into this situation, which you knew you couldn't finish the job? Or if you can, go finish it. You got plenty of things. Say, hey, Bannon, don't waste time. When you finish, then go finish it. Quit coming to us to finish it. President Trump may come to that conclusion, but it's not something he would just say out of thing. Oh, yeah, let's go bomb him and take care of it. That he's going to do it because he's got away the options now that you've gotten us into it. That's reality. That's the truth. That's exactly where we are. And people should be truthful with each other, particularly in these tough decisions. That's what allies do. Allies don't manipulate and don't inexorably draw people into situations of which the other party has to get them out of.
The mullahs, I mean, they can chant death to America every weekend. That's no problem. They can talk about annihilating the United States. But if Benjamin Netanyahu, if he lectures America, or if he manipulates America, well, then he's got to be called out, even from the conservative right. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. You can get to the live video of this program at TrumpetDaily.com or at our Rumble channel, Rumble.com/Trumpet Daily. If you go to Rumble, make sure you leave a nice comment, or if you want to send us a comment, it's TD at the Trumpet. www.worldnewswhatitmeans.com. Lots to get to on today's show. It's Friday, so we've got World Watch, if we can squeeze that in toward the end. And it's also Bring Your Dog to Work Day. That's, I guess, there's my dog watching the Thunder get demolished last night. No, actually, I didn't bring her this year. I think I did that last year, didn't I? That's the one where she's up on the table. Just ran out of time. We had to kind of set up the set for it last year. So I did bring a couple of clips. If the guys have them, you can play the one where she's wrestling with my my son. That was a last year, so she's almost three. She has mellowed out a bit, but those that see her out on campus, there's another clip here of her sprinting down the hill. There she is, coming down from Armstrong Auditorium. She's according to Google, she's that breed is the 20th fastest dog in the world. So there you go. And this is the part of our campus where she runs the fastest, as I encourage her to go. So maybe next year, or maybe next week, maybe in the next coming weeks, we'll bring her back into the studio so that you can see her live on the show. Well, as I say, I've got a lot to get to today, but I have to mention Bring Your Dog to Work Day for all of those dog lovers who are out there, and I'm sure there are many. So you heard there in the cold open, I mean, the MAGA movement is pretty well split. You've got Fox News on the one hand saying, look, we can take out their nuke program and take out the regime as well. They're cheering it on. And then you've got Bannon and Tucker and all these others that they're singling out Netanyahu. They're basically implying that the problem here is Israel. That Israel, the timing of this was, it happened when it did, to manipulate the United States. Well, we got into this and we can't finish it without the bunker buster, so you've got to come help us. And the Tucker crowd says, no way, because why? Well, it's another Iraq. I mean, as I've said this week, look at, he was right. The brochure we offer without cost or obligation. And it just takes you right through all of these prophecies of Herbert Armstrong over decades, where he said it back in the 60s, that America had won its last war. I mean, it is true. We've gotten entangled into quagmires. But instead of asking deep questions, you know, important questions, why did we lose? Why did we get entangled in these affairs? Why is it that these tiny little nations or movements can whip the United States? Nobody seems to be talking about that. It's just that, well, we went into Iraq and we were lied to, and they had all, we were told they had weapons of mass destruction. And then look at what happens later. Trillions of dollars are spent, rivers of blood, American soldiers. I mean, yeah, it was a mess. But where is the pride in American power? It's gone. It's gone, just as Mr. Armstrong said, based on Leviticus 26. I mean, even the talk now, well, we'll give it 2 weeks. 2 weeks for what? It's pretty straightforward. They're close to getting nukes. President Trump himself said they were weeks away from building nukes. Now we've got weeks, 2 weeks. And you notice there from that, I think, France 24 clip in the cold open, you know, as America wants out already, and we're not even in. And then here comes Europe stepping in, talking with Tehran. Now that's pretty significant. This is Tom Cotton on the two-week delay, or this time period that President Trump is now saying he's going to give Iran and Israel before America takes any kind of action or decides not to. Clip six.
I don't want to speculate about what the president is thinking or about any information that we may have that's not in the public domain. But I think it is clear after a week of Israel pummeling Iran's defenses that we do have the benefit of time here, not months, not years, but hours, days, a couple of weeks, as the president decided today. He may give the Ayatollahs one last chance to try to turn over all of their nuclear weapons program and uranium enrichment, also to make sure that we're prepared in the region and around the world.
Now, as I've said earlier this week, and Israel, I mean, Israel's taking some hits. They bombed a hospital in Beersheba. But look at what Israel was able to do in just the course of two or three days. I mean, it's not a kill shot by any means. But they weakened the king of the south, the head of the snake, radical Islam. And with all the firepower that America has, and, you know, Israel, Steve Bannon's right about the fact that Israel may run out of firepower. I mean, if they have to keep shooting down these missiles, it's very costly to do that. And it's a small state. I mean, they have more firepower than their neighbors in that region. But, of course, America is the one that has the firepower to actually make a kill shot. But we won't do it. There's no will to do that. And so you've got this split right down the middle of MAGA. And Donald Trump calling out Tucker as kooky. And according to polls, I mean, it seems like you can play that Harry Enten, I think it is, from CNN. This is number 11.
Trump has said that Iran cannot possibly get a nuclear weapon. That is what this is all about. How do Americans feel about that particular thing?
Yeah, look, I think it's a complicated picture overall. But on this particular question, and overall, I feel like there's more support for Donald Trump's positions than is comically acknowledged. Oppose Iran getting a nuclear weapon. I mean, look at this. 79% of adults agree on that. They agree with Donald Trump. Iran cannot get a nuclear weapon. 83% of Republicans, 79% of independents, 79% of Democrats. When you get 79% of Democrats and 83% of Republicans agreeing on anything, you know that that position is the very clear majority in this country. And so the American public is with Donald Trump. They definitely oppose Iran getting nuclear weapons.
So if they can't have nuclear weapons, and that's something that President Trump has said time and time again, if they can't have a nuclear weapon, because everyone knows they'll use it to destroy Israel, to destroy America or American cities, and they're weeks away from getting a nuclear weapon, what do? You see, it's pretty straightforward, isn't it? Israel is at war with Iran, trying to destroy their weapons. And Iran is at war with Israel, trying to destroy Jews. It's pretty straightforward. And yet we go for two more weeks. We play the waiting game. And as America wants out, Europe wants in. Foreign ministers from CNN, from Britain, Germany, and France are traveling to Geneva on Friday, that's today, to hold talks with Iranian representatives and have been briefed on the details of the last deal Witkoff offered to Iran. So now we're back to negotiating. But of course, Europe wanting in, that's significant too, because we know from Bible prophecy that ultimately it's Germany that eliminates this threat, that takes out this threat. And we've played you the clip of Mertz earlier this week, I think it was Monday or Tuesday, where he congratulated Israel for doing the West dirty work. He knows it's a threat. So America's looking for ways out, and Europe wants in. It's from Bloomberg. It says U.S. President Donald Trump signaled he would give diplomacy a chance before deciding whether to strike Iran, dialing back on recent comments that suggested military action could be imminent. Based on the fact that there's a substantial chance of negotiations that may or may not take place with Iran in the near future, this is quoting President Trump, I will make my decision whether or not to go within the next 2 weeks. That's a message that he gave to his press representative. Again, how does something so simple and straightforward become this complicated? You heard that even from the CNN guy. I mean, there's widespread support for stopping Iran's nuke program. And yet, as he said there, you know, it's also kind of complicated. Why? It's complicated because the pride in our power has been broken. And that's what Herbert Armstrong lays out, and he was right. He goes through, he starts with the Korean War, he goes to Vietnam, and right down, and then you get to Iraq, and yeah, nothing has worked. And so let's just withdraw and hopefully shield ourselves from evil, from these people that want to kill us. This was retweeted yesterday by Sean Davis, an excellent conservative at the Federalist. And he's sending out this woman's comment where she says, overlooked, if the U.S. didn't have troops in the region, the Middle East that is, Iran wouldn't be able to hit U.S. forces at all. She says, huge hazard of maintaining footprints the world over. In other words, and then Sean Davis retweets this. In other words, hey, we've got all these bases, these powerful bases around the world, and, you know, that's what puts our soldiers in danger. So what she's implying is get rid of the bases, get rid of American power so that we can't be hit. If we're not in Qatar, they can't bomb Qatar. So let's just get out. I mean, look at how broken our will is. Even, I was telling Sam yesterday, even back when we invaded Iraq, you know, my father made the point that, look, it's misguided. The fact that the war is against terrorism, which is a tactic, and you're not identifying the evil, you're not identifying the cause, who it is that hates you, that's trying to kill you, that killed those thousands of people on 9/11. But even when you're not going after the head of the snake and you're going into Iraq, which is right next door, imagine the power, imagine the deterrence if you go in there and you do set up a massive U.S. military base. Now, again, I know the Forever Wars crowd is screaming right now. What are you talking about? We can't afford to do that. Well, there are a lot of problems to run through. We try to get through as many as we can on this show. It's hard to do in 55 minutes. But hey, let's not put our soldiers in danger. So let's close down all of these bases. That's like saying if I don't live right next door to this murderer that wants to kill me, if I'm a little ways down the street, well, then I'm okay. Then I'll be safe. Look at how much faith we put in politics, or in this case, geography. Now, that it is nice to have such a big buffer there in two oceans on either side of America. And it is a blessing that we don't have hostile neighbors right next door to our north or south. But look, they chant death to America. They want to destroy America. And radical Islam killed thousands of Americans on 9/11. Israel has its 9/11 many times over, just a year and a half ago. But how many people look at this and see evil for what it is? They're telling us that they want to murder us. And our response, what? Let's close down the bases. Let's single out Bibi Netanyahu as being manipulative. This is insanity. What we're doing to ourselves, ignoring all of these threats. Byron York, speaking of Trump's decision, he says, remember here, the goal is to make sure Iran does not have a nuclear weapon. So that's, as I say, not complicated. It's pretty straightforward. It says, does that mean the problem has to be solved forever? That is to ensure that Iran never, ever, ever has a nuclear weapon? Or does it mean to ensure that Iran does not have a nuclear weapon for a significant period of time? Now, here's where it begins to get complicated. And he draws attention to the division, even in the MAGA movement, and how much Israel has slowed down Iran's march to building a bomb. It says, no, the Israel-Iran situation in 2025 is not the same as the Iraq situation in 2003. But for Americans, the Iraq debacle is a constant reminder of the importance of going to war only for the soundest of reasons and only when other options have been exhausted. So the translation, if you want me to be straightforward, we've lost so many wars that we've got to drag our feet now before we get involved in anything else. Well, what happens if enemies show up at your doorstep after they've told you day in and day out that they want to kill you? What do you do? Broken will. It says here, as a matter of fact, Trump won the Republican nomination and then the White House in 2016 by stressing what a terrible misuse of American military power and prestige the Iraq misadventure had been. It's certainly something Trump doesn't want to do himself. So we've gotten into all these quagmires. And now we're talking about, well, how much time before they get a bomb do we need? And do we need to have all these bases in the neighborhood, these military bases? I mean, there's conservatives actually discussing this as if just shielding ourselves from violence and evil and murder is going to eliminate the threat. Listen to what Mr. Armstrong wrote in our booklet. He was right, or actually we're quoting from him, from 1961. It says, unless or until the United States as a whole repents and returns to what has become a hollow slogan on its dollars, in God we trust, the United States of America has won its last war. That was in 1961. He says, I said that when we failed to win in Korea. I said it again now that the United States government endorsed the Cuban fiasco. Its president gave the go-ahead. And God, the God of America, the God America has deserted, rather, gave it its most humiliating defeat. What does the Cuban debacle mean? It means, Mr. and Mrs. United States, that the handwriting is on the wall. And then we wrote, following that quote, those are strong words, yet their full weight and power were not known until the U.S. became involved in its next major conflict. Yeah, then came Vietnam, and we just went through the anniversary of that, 50 years on, the fall of Saigon. That was just a few months ago. Another brutal reminder of all of these losses, of all of these embarrassments, of all of these just absolute debacles. Look at the withdrawal from Afghanistan as yet another example. So people see this and they, even if they're conservative on a lot of other issues, they conclude, let's just withdraw from everything. The will has been broken. And America's enemies see this. They see it. I mean, this is something President Trump campaigned on. We've got to end all these forever wars. And we certainly can't get into another one. What must they be? Here comes the mullahs now. They're ready to talk to Europe. And Europe is ready to accommodate that. As far as what the world is seeing or observing in the United States, listen to this from CNN, clip 8.
We are now getting an inside look at what is left of the Iranian state news station that, as you just see there, was struck by an Israeli airstrike earlier on this week. CNN's Fred Pleichen is the first Western journalist on the ground in Tehran. He filed this report for us.
We're inside the Iranian state broadcasting company, IRIB, which was hit by an Israeli airstrike a couple of days ago. And you can see the damage is absolutely massive. I'm standing in the atrium right now, but if you look around, this whole area has been completely destroyed. All of the offices, all of the technology that they have inside here, the broadcast technology, everything has been rendered pretty much useless. What we see here is the actual studio where an Iranian state TV anchor was sitting and reading the news when the strike hit. You can see here that is an anchor desk right there. And of course, when it happened, the anchor was reading the news, and then all of a sudden there was a thud. The studio went black at the beginning. She got up and left, but then later apparently came back and finished the newscast and is now being hailed as a champion of Iranian media.
Okay, so you get to see some of the destruction in Tehran. But why is CNN in the heart of Tehran in the first place? Well, because the mullahs know. They're propagandists. They know. They know they've got to get the pro-Hamas, pro-Iran, pro-Hezbollah platform in there. And the platform, I mean, their headquarters is in Atlanta, Georgia. So in comes CNN. I mean, it makes perfect sense. You think the Ayatollah is going to be inviting in a conservative like Mark Levin, who says, look, we've got to act now or it'll be too late. I played you the clip from Winston Churchill earlier this week. He said, look, he said in 1946, after the World War ended, World War II, he said, look, I sounded the alarm. I told you what was coming, but you didn't listen. Nobody listened. And then 65 million deaths later, we look back on it and wonder, why didn't we do something? Why didn't we act? Why so much waffling? What is it about Israelite nations? And Judah, little Judah, is maybe an exception to this rule from time to time. But what is it about Israelite nations that they want to look into the eyes of evil and say, yeah, I think we can make peace. I think we've signed an agreement here that's going to hold. I think it'll put off widespread destruction for another few years, at least. I mean, it's worth it. Imagine taking that approach, as I said earlier this week, in our battle against our adversary, the devil. If we just, you know, every morning we got up and wanted to sit down with him and try to reason with him a little bit and maybe try to get him to back off on the attacks. And maybe then after the meeting, create a little distance. Because if we're not in the neighborhood, then we don't have to worry about him lashing out at us. Satan is relentless. And so are these evil dictatorships. And you give an inch, they'll take a mile. Yeah, CNN, come on in to Tehran. Because we know that you'll get our message out there. Weakness. And he was right. Again, we quote from Mr. Armstrong. First, we said, indeed, the war in Vietnam gave America's reputation as a superpower quite a beating. The plain truth pointed this out in February 1978 and then made this stunning prediction. The days are over when the military might of the United States is used to accomplish what America perceives as correct and proper. That was in 1978. Those days are over. It says here, America's influence and prestige is on the rapid decline. The pride of our power has been broken. Tomorrow's news today, it says the time is fast approaching when the United States will be so weak and so fearful of its own shadow that, as the prophet Ezekiel predicted, the trumpet will sound the call to battle, but no one will answer. Even when the trumpet of alarm is sounding, no one will answer. Or if they discuss it, they'll talk about the problem with Bibi, the problem with Israel. Kim Strassel, the American first face-off. She highlights this divide in the MAGA movement. You've got a lot of the MAGA people that want to be completely and totally isolationist. It says, but all caution fled last week as the irate contingent watched Israel gear up to strike Iran and choose to test its influence to unleash their online troops on Mr. Trump himself. She talks about Tucker and Steve Bannon. Mr. Carlson blasted the warmongers pushing the president to confront Iran, while this other commentator claimed Israel's strike had made a mockery of Mr. Trump's calls for negotiations. Critics hurled insults at Senator Lindsey Graham and Tom Cotton and warned that Mr. Trump's support for Israel would make him complicit in war, amount to a betrayal, and collapse his coalition. Yet Mr. Trump moved decisively in both word and deed to retake control. And she talks about how he called out Tucker Carlson, said he was kooky. And then it looked like he was prepared to act. He was saying that Iran can't have a nuclear weapon. But then, you know, just in the last day or two, you've got more indecisiveness, more indecision. You've got 2-week delays. Steve Bannon has, I mean, he's been about as outspoken as Tucker, singling out the Jews, as you heard in the cold open, as the problem, or at least a big part of it. This is clip one.
So this part of MAGA that's most concerned with this is principally veterans or parents of young people that could be called in here. And it's a very deep thing. We don't want any more forever wars. And if you look at the cheerleaders, and let me specifically call out Fox, it is unacceptable. What they're doing as a news network, it's pure propaganda. 24 hours a day, when President Trump had the election stolen and we went back to Mar-a-Lago, the Murdochs made a specific decision that Trump would never return, okay? They said it, and this is why they didn't go to trial. They said in the email, Murdoch's email was going to make him a non-person. Everybody, they took a paycheck from Rupert Murdoch, was part of that. So those people, when they sit there and go, oh, we're super MAGA, we're Team Trump, for 1 year in 2021, I don't think he was on Fox Live ever. They never covered any live rallies because they're afraid to talk about stolen election. So all those guys, Mark Levin, Sean Hannity, where were they in the darkest days of the MAGA movement? And I don't need to hear them doing the same cheerleading. That this has to happen. It has to happen. Why did it have to happen last Thursday? That has not been answered. BB came on Fox on Sunday afternoon and told Bret Baier, we're 12 to 13 months. Oh, they were 12 or 13 months away. This is his words, 12 or 13 months away from actually having a weapon. And now CNN and others, John Daly, they're all putting together compilations of BB's last 30 years of telling us they're just 12 months away. So what's changed?
So you're all over the map. I mean, on the election steal and the enemies that they were fighting. I mean, this man went to prison. He was that fierce. He was that fearless in fighting against the radical left, in fighting against Barack Obama. And they sent him to jail for several months. But then you talk about the forever wars with no fighting. We don't want any fighting. We don't want any more forever wars, which basically means no more wars, just peace. Well, look at the world we're living in. And then again, the shot at Netanyahu. For the last 30 years, he's been telling us they're getting close. They're getting close. Well, I mean, Churchill sounded the alarm for 10, 15 years. And there were all kinds of people that said, listen, you've been saying this for years. Go back to the wilderness. At some point, it explodes. And everyone's left to point fingers at the cause. Look at what, like my father said in those shows back in the 1990s, I mean, look at what they're saying and then look at what they're doing. Look at why they have our nuclear weapons program. Look at what they've been doing for the last several decades. Look at what they did on 9/11. Look at what they did on October 7. I mean, Israel, in a lot of ways, and it's not just with Iran here, I mean, they've been going it alone. Going after Hamas, I mean, they basically decapitated Hezbollah. Now they're going into Iran. They had their 9/11 many times over, and it happened in 2023. It happened less than 2 years ago. And now the debate is, well, I mean, are they 12 months away? And haven't we been hearing that for years? So there's no real threat here, is there? Delusional. The peace derangement syndrome. That's what we're seeing. We're seeing it on a mass scale. Listen to Bannon again, clip two.
Remember, the first trip we took in the first administration was to the Middle East, Riyadh, Jerusalem, and Rome, and that was done on purpose, right? And his speech he gave there the first time was, I think, one of the best speeches he ever gave, that, hey, we got to work this out together. I actually think the second trip he took was actually more powerful because he talked about peace and prosperity and how we can work our way out of here through peace. And we're not here to tell people, you know, specifically what your cultures and societies have to be. Your cultures and societies have to develop how they have to develop. We got some pretty good allies over there. I mean, MBZ, UAE punches way above their weight. And he's also known as a man, I think, throughout the world is very level-headed. MBS. You have some very the new relationship with or the new relationship with Qatar. I think those people ought to be brought into this decision maker right now because at least publicly, they're backing the Ayatollah. Behind the scenes, I'm sure it's different. They remember they had a detente. The Saudis went out of their way in 23 to have a detente, right, with the Ayatollah. President Trump, he's got a great negotiator in Steve Witkoff. President Trump's a deal maker.
We've got all these great allies. It's so much better, the recent trip to the Middle East, than it was even back in 2017. Well, look at what's been happening since 2017. Look at October 7. We've got all of these allies, and, you know, I know they say things publicly that show support for the mullahs. But listen, behind the scenes, I mean, they'll work with us. And oh, by the way, we've got deal makers like Witkoff. Let's talk peace. Let's talk about peace. No more wars. Melanie Phillips, the return of the neocon canard. Israel's war with Iran has given an ancient blood libel a new lease of life. Further on, she says, the question is, why, given all these differences, such strong anti-war feeling exists on both sides of the Atlantic? And she points out what we're now seeing. You see, there's radical left-wing commentators that are saying, you know what, I'm actually starting to agree with Tucker. Because Tucker really pressed Ted Cruz. Tucker really exposed Ted Cruz. I mean, Ted Cruz doesn't even know how many people are in Iran. He doesn't know the Iranian population. So he's obviously ignorant. So you've got these people on the far right. You've got people on the far left. And what's the common denominator here? Well, she explains. Says, Iran has been at war with America and the West since the Islamic Revolutionary Regime came to power in 1979. That's truth. I mean, that's a truth bomb. That's a bunker buster, okay? They have declared war from the beginning. And we're out there saying, look, Bibi's the problem here. He's been sounding the alarm saying it's 12 months away. He's been saying that for years. So he must be wrong. They must just want nuclear power so that they can turn on the lights in their homes in Tehran. The reality is, as she explains, it has mounted countless attacks against Western interests, has had its fingerprints all over every major terrorist incident, and has killed countless numbers of people. That has been the track record. There's no denying it. Unless you just want to firmly bury your head in the sand and say, hey, let's get all of the Middle East nations represented and sit down and talk it through. We've got new allies in Qatar and the UAE, all over the place. You notice he didn't mention Israel or Bibi Netanyahu. It's been building intercontinental ballistic missiles to hit America and Europe and repeatedly declares its intention to destroy the West. Melanie Phillips wrote this. So why is the West so blind to all this? Why can't we see it? And when the alarm is sounded, like my father said there in the cold open, that was from 1997 or 8, I believe. If the watchman sees the sword rising and he doesn't sound the alarm, well, then their blood's going to be on his head. You don't see the sword and wait until you're stabbed in the heart before you start to do something. That's what a lot of people want to do, though. We're seeing it. We're seeing it. And they're talking endlessly about peace. We're going to have peace. Why is the West so blind? Why doesn't it understand that it needs to defend itself against this clear and present danger? The answer, astounding as this may seem, is that people on both the left and the right have concluded that the Islamic world's aggression against the West is all the fault of the Jews. Here we go again. History repeating itself. For the left, the Islamic world is the historic victim of Western colonialism and imperialism. As such, it can be held responsible for any violence against the West, which must be viewed instead as legitimate resistance. Accordingly, Muslims, whether in the form of Palestinian Arabs or the Iranian regime, can't possibly be guilty of genocidal aggression against Israel. Their violence can only be seen as resistance. And so the story has to be concocted that Israel is guilty of colonialism and oppression. And so you have the coverage. CNN, they're proud to report from Tehran. They do the same in Gaza. The UN, a lot of times the UN sets up shop right next to the Hamas guys. And then you've got reporters that are embedded into the Hamas movement. They were there on October 7, some of them. Just reporting the facts. Not calling evil evil. Not tipping off Israel before they're attacked. But, you know, just following the murderers into southern Israel as they raped and burned and destroyed and murdered. What a world we're living in. And then now you see all this political division and strife. It says, on the other side of the political divide, some on the right seek alternative explanations for what seems to them inexplicable and terrifying. These people subscribe to the Western delusion that everyone in the world is governed by rationality and self-interest. You just make a deal with them. As long as you benefit monetarily, everything's going to work out. Peace will break out everywhere. It says here, accordingly, they find it impossible to grasp the nature of religious fanaticism. They can't understand that Islamic terrorists blow themselves up on the streets of Western cities not out of despair, but from an ecstatic belief that they are doing the will of God. She says they can't grasp that Iran's supreme leader believes that providing an apocalypse will bring the Shia Messiah down to earth. They believe they're doing God's will. She says, ever since 9/11, these people on the right have asked themselves why Muslims hate the West so much. Since the West has had nothing to do with the Islamic world, they have concluded that it could therefore only be because of resentment to the existence of the Jewish state of Israel. Bibi has been sounding this alarm, yes, for 25, 30 years. And together with the fact that he's said they're going to build a bomb and they're going to use it, he's also said they're going to hit us first and then they're going after the big Satan, the great Satan that is the United States of America. It says here, so war against the West by the Muslim world is the fault of the Jews for being there at all. And so these ignorant Westerners go straight down the rabbit hole of Jewish conspiracy theory which tells them that the only explanation for America supporting Israel is that the Jews possess some kind of demonic, magical powers to control events. And you heard Bannon there at that event yesterday go on and on about, let's talk about the timing. You know, why did Bibi do it last Thursday night? And why is he trying to manipulate the United States? Again, it may not be just out there overtly stated, but you look at the transcript of their comments. You see what they're calling for. No more war. We've got all these new allies in the region. We've got to bring them to the negotiations as well. We've got to sit down and talk. You'd be hard pressed. I don't know. I haven't listened to everything Steve Bannon said over the years, but you'd be hard pressed to find him speaking as critically, as negatively about the mullahs, I bet, than he has about Benjamin Netanyahu this week. How dare you lecture us? How dare you manipulate us? It used to be that Israel was our strongest ally in the region. And now, I mean, what must Israel be thinking? He's got enough resistance in his own country. And then you look at the international media, CNN, going into Tehran. You see how they report Hamas. You see people from universities taking to the streets in America, in the UK, in support of Hamas. It's just part of the resistance, October 7. I mean, the real genocide is happening in Gaza. And the media, they're happy to go right along with it. The return of the old canard. It's the Jews' fault. It's Bibi's fault. How can the Jewish people cope with this fearsome, unprecedented lunacy that has consumed so much of the West? How can we be so blind to evil? How can we so easily look evil in the eyes and say, you know what, I think I see an angel of light. I think I see a new ally. I think I see a partner. I think I see someone that wants to make a deal. It's a catastrophic failure to understand human nature, as I was saying just a couple weeks ago, to have faith or trust in the human heart, particularly the heart of a mullah or the supreme leader that looks you right in the eye and says, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to take you out. And when I do it, I want you to know, even if I go out with you, I'm doing God's service. I'm doing the work of God. Listen to this one last statement from Steve Bannon, clip 5.
I think this is one of the most, or not the most important time in history, in modern American history. We are in, this is much more dangerous than the late 1930s, much more dangerous. The weapons more dangerous. I think the character of people throughout the world is changed. And I just think the political class and the globalists have sown the wind and we're about to reap the whirlwind.
And so there you go. I mean, I'm not entirely sure all that he's talking about, but this is in the same discussion where he's going after Bibi and declaring that we've got other allies in the region. And then he talks about it being a more dangerous time than the 1930s, if he only knew. But what is it that he sees as the grave danger? Well, I guess globalists, the political class. Does he see Iran as part of the problem? Or the now forming empire in Europe that wants to get involved in peace negotiations with Iran? Well, he does a good job of seeing China as a threat, and it is. And Russia too. But if I assume he means that the character of people is worsening, and it's more dangerous now than it was in the 1930s. Well, What are the solutions then? What is the solution to the Iran problem? It's the biggest source of trouble and evil, not just in that region, like Melanie Phillips brings out. I mean, the history goes back decades. They love killing Jews. They love killing Americans. The big Satan and the little Satan. They've been at war with America since 1979. Started with the hostage crisis, and then you just go right down the line. The bombing in Beirut, killing soldiers. And what's the solution there? Even when you have a strong president, well, let's get him out. If they weren't there in the first place, they wouldn't be a target. So let's withdraw and let's shield ourselves from the evil, as if that's possible. There is no hope in man. Our hope, our only hope, is in God. God's trying to get our attention. Are we listening, though? God's sounding the alarm. God's raised up a watchman. God's been proclaiming his truth through his family, his church, for many years. And yeah, we've said some of these prophecies or talked about them for years and years and years. And the tendency of human nature is to say, you know, you've been saying that for 30 years. It's never going to come to pass. The Bible says in the last days there would be scoffers, scoffing at the promises of God, scoffing at the prophecies of Jesus Christ's return to this earth. And we certainly see a lot of them all around. I want to leave at least a few minutes for World Watch. It'll probably take you a little bit over, but we won't charge you for that extra time. But we'll finish today's show with this week's World Watch segment. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
A China-backed militia has gained control over new rare earth mines in eastern Myanmar, Reuters reported on June 12th. China has a stranglehold on mining and processing rare earth minerals, accounting for 90% of the world's processed supplies. These elements are critical for numerous electronic devices, from smartphones and wind turbines to military technology. China is reaching beyond its borders to further expand its monopoly on these essential elements and secure leverage against the United States in their escalating trade war. China demonstrated its willingness to weaponize its monopoly on these minerals in April, putting export restrictions on various rare earth minerals as part of its retaliation against U.S. tariffs. The Bible prophesies of a coming trade war that will escalate into an economic siege against the United States. As China's dominance over neighboring Asian nations grows, along with its control over other vital resources, the threat it poses to a China-dependent America increases. To understand where these events are leading, read Superpower Under Siege in Trumpet Editor-in-Chief Gerald Fleury's book, Ezekiel the End-Time Prophet. North Korea is building a new site that closely resembles the Yongbyon Uranium Enrichment Facility, the International Atomic Energy Agency said on June 9th. Satellite images show construction on the new site beginning in the first week of December 2024. Photos from June 10th show construction to be in its final stages. The declared Yongbyon Uranium Enrichment Site is around 1.5 miles away from the new site. The dimensions of both buildings are markedly similar. Russia and China are the real powers behind North Korea, enabling it to act aggressively against the Western world. The Bible prophesies that Russia and China will head an alliance that includes many of their smaller Asian neighbors, such as North Korea. This Kings of the East alliance will play a major role in an imminent global war that will wreak terrible destruction on the world. To learn more, request a free copy of Russia and China in Prophecy. Pope Leo XIV announced on June 7th that the Roman Catholic Church is open to establishing a universal date for Easter to be celebrated among all Christian churches. Speaking to participants of the symposium Nicaea and the Church of the Third Millennium Towards Catholic Orthodox Unity, the Pope emphasized that what unites Christians is far greater than what divides them. He pointed people back to the Council of Nicaea, called by Emperor Constantine in AD 325, to create a state-sponsored form of Christianity. For over 40 years, Plain Truth Editor-in-Chief Herbert W. Armstrong forecast the Catholic Church would pull Protestants and Orthodox back under its dominion. This prediction was based on Isaiah 47, which indicates that the Catholic Church's protesting daughters will be brought back under the Mother Church's control. A universal date for Easter would be a step in this direction. To learn more, read Returning to the Fold. To learn more about current world news and how it relates to Bible prophecy, please visit thetrumpet.com.